Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles, and this is my good friend, Jolene Ratson Treadway. Hi, Jolene. How are you doing?
Hi. Thank you for having me on with you tonight. It's quite an honor.
Well, it's always an honor having you on as well. We have a really good show this evening. Unfortunately, we only have a half hour to do the show, but I want to take a little bit of time to introduce our guest. His name is Kenny Ortega. He lives in Las Vegas, and he does a lot of paranormal investigating. His favorite location is the Gold Field. So how about we welcome him on? How are you doing this evening, Kenny?
I am doing great. I just got out of work. I won't reveal where I work so I can keep it that way. But I do work security somewhere on the strip, and I just got out at 3 o'clock, and it's a nice, bright 95 degrees, a little cloudy. We just got over some torrential rain, and we're still going through our monsoon season here in the desert, but it's quite awesome.
Oh, gosh. Well, it sounds really like, I mean, the weather sounds hot, but I know for that area that it's dry, so it has to be perfect as far as humidity goes right now. Why don't we start by you telling us a little about you, how you got involved in the paranormal, and we'll go from there.
Yes.
All right. Well, it happened about, I'd say, 2.5 years ago. We had to go up near just south of Lake Tahoe, where my aunt lives. Our King German Shepherd had tried to bite my little infant daughter. She was only maybe 7 months old, and out of the blue, the dog just tried to snap at her, and we decided that was it. We can't have him around, but we didn't want to put him down or anything. He didn't bite her, but he got pretty close. So, make a long story short, we took up a trip to Topaz Lake. It's a retirement community in northern Nevada, near Reno. And on the way up there, when you take the 95, you have to pass through Goldfield and Tonopah. Mm-hmm. And so it was just so happens that we've seen the world-famous Goldfield Hotel, and we pulled over, and my ex, she's my ex now, but at the time she was trying to be nice, and we took a couple of pictures. And for your listening audience, if they want to go to my Facebook page, I'm sure the link is there through they can go through you, Karen Miles. They'll see the Goldfield picture of me holding my daughter. Now, a lot of people may say, well, you know, how could you involve your daughter in the paranormal? Well, it wasn't planned. I didn't plan it. It was just something. It was one of those, like, you know, you take your picture against a 400-foot ball of yarn. Well, that was pretty much what I wanted, just a picture of Goldfield with my daughter. And it just happened out of the blue that we got something in the picture.
Oh,
So we went to a couple of photo shoots. With her camera phone was a 2.0 megapixel. They don't even make anymore, LG, from Verizon. And it was high noon, maybe 12:30. It was on a, I'd say, a nice May day, still a little not as hot. And we took, I remember she took about 15 picks. And then the last couple ones, she really started getting a bad feeling. And she's like, you know what, we need to get out of here. So I said, oh, I take one more final one. And the one final one, you see my daughter looking up. And if you look closely, if you look diagonally where she's looking up, it's up to the second floor of the farthest right window, you see a figure peering out.
Yep.
And I enhanced that with different color views and a negative and black and white. And you can see what appears to be looking like a miner person or an old cowboy with a derby hat with a Wrangler shirt. And he's peering out of the window looking at where my ex-wife would be taking that pic. And then you see something demonic looking down at me and my daughter.
Like
a giant head. So, and then what was more remarkable, I didn't even bother looking at the pic until maybe my third day of work when we got back. But she had real feelings. But the pic was the only experience we had that day through Goldfield. You see, there was only one way in, one way out. We had to return to Goldfield to get back to Las Vegas. And so it was a six-hour drive where Matt lived, and then it was another 6 hours back. We stopped in Tonopah. They have a McDonald's there. Because in Goldfield, everything closes at 9. So it was a little after 9, we were coming back. And so I'd say about 5 miles before you hit Goldfield, we started just getting this weird feeling. Now, I don't know if folks out there in the internet radio land, or even you, Karen, know what it feels like to be in a very haunted place.
Yes.
But Goldfield is that. Goldfield is just not the hotel. The whole town, the ground, the area is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's been known that you can take a walk around the streets of Goldfield at night, and if there's no wind, you can walk around and get tremendous EVPs. Even during the day, you can get EVPs. And so it's an EVP dream person to go out there.
Wow.
So we were getting close to town, and all of a sudden, we just felt this eerie presence letting us know that there is something in that town, and especially the heartbeat of this thing is the hotel. I'd say we were a mile out, and we really felt it. And looking at it, my ex has the ability to see spirits, but she refuses to partake in it. She doesn't ghost hunt. She doesn't care for it at all. My ability awakened that night, though. I'm what you call a sensitive and empathic. I could sense stuff. I can go in a room, and even though I cannot see yet, I can, if I meditate, I can tell you if it's a male or female spirit, if it is just repetitive or if it's intelligent. And I could tell you if the spirit is angry or sad or scared or happy.
Yeah.
I just want to say that we got to right near the hotel, and we just felt this, like, I don't know the best way to describe it, like a big, giant spiritual hand, like, kind of grabbing us at our heart. And it got so bad that my ex was about ready to have a panic attack, and she told me. And that town, you have to slow down to 25 miles an hour or else. So we, as much as she wanted to floor to 80 miles an hour, you know, we had to grin and bear it. She said while we were driving through, first she said she thought she saw a fat man in a jogging suit chasing after us. And then, you know those old Annie Griffin shows? You see the townspeople watching the cars go by.
Yeah.
On the main road through town. Well, she felt, because there are some benches out there, that there were spirits sitting on those benches watching us as we were driving through town. You know, just he has just for some reason you have this, like you're being watched as you're driving through. But after that, you know, everything was all right, and she really, to this day, doesn't really like to speak about it.
Wow.
But, you know, I am more vocal because I know what I felt, and I know I'm not crazy. And
right.
I have been, because of that experience, it awoke in me, you see. So somebody would take something negative, I've turned it positive as, well, that'll, for some reason, the good Lord upstairs allowed that to happen. The universe allowed that to happen. So I choose to use my gifts now for paranormal study and research, but also to help spirits too, and people understand that there is nothing to be afraid of except fear itself when it comes to this paranormal stuff. But I would say, with that picture you're looking at, because of that experience, I sat long and hard for 4 months wondering why, what it was and why it happened to me.
Wow. May I ask a question to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Karen was telling me a little bit about yourself, and she said that my son, myself, and one other of what we consider our family members, we had formed Dust Shadow Walkers, and right here in the Williamsburg area, and there are other paranormal groups, and they all use the scientific way of doing things. Me being native, I don't believe in it. I believe in following what the spirits either show you, you know, have you follow, whatever it may be. It's the instinct inside of you. And so I do things naturally. Everything comes natural. My son is the same way. The spirits come to him in just a pure natural way without using anything but what we feel, what we see, what have you. We the three of us are like, Matt is the logic one who kind of uses logic. I'm the one who has the spirituality. My son is the fearless one who doesn't have any fear in him at all when it comes to dealing with spirits and things. So we balance each other out. And she said that you were like, Karen told me you were like that. You used the natural way, the natural form of using your own inner instincts and your inner spirits to let guide you to where these spirits are.
Yes, that's true. I do agree. On some levels, I do more natural than scientific.
Right.
I don't get too much caught up in scientific because I'm not here to prove to a regular paranormal investigator the barometry point, the dew point, the degrees. I'm not here to prove, well, there were so many earthquakes in this hour, or the earth shifted before we started, or the... To me, that's fine and dandy if I ever do form a group or team up with a group and there is somebody who measures all that while I'm doing this, hats off to them. But my main thing is gut instinct, what is in here in my heart and in my spirit,
right.
In my native. And
right.
I do listen to my higher self and my spirit guides and God, the great chief in the sky. And
good.
Every situation is different. Every spirit, just like when you run into people here on this trip, every situation is different, from an intoxicated drunk to a working girl to
right.
a guest who's very upset that he didn't get the right service. So yeah, you can't just use the same thing over again. Every situation is going to be different, including with spirits and locations.
You're right.
Goldfield has a lot of spirit children. And
yep.
I keep hearing this. Well, sometimes the demons play that pretend they're children. Okay. But you can't be 100% sure that's always what it is. That's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I did some good connections, and you can see it on the pictures I have up of a, I just sensed that there was a spirit child, a little girl, just around, and I said, well, this is a little girl, I have a little daughter, you can come and sit on my lap. Now, I don't know what really made me say that, but just my heart and my spirit reached out to these spirit kids, because we don't know how long it's been since they've truly been passed on. We don't know how long since they've had adult interaction.
Exactly.
You know? I don't know what happened to this child's parent, but I do know that children need love, and even spirit children.
Very
and nice. I have befriended many of them. I have taken them in my house, and I've sheltered them, and I've sent them on their way. But in Goldfield, I had this little girl, I believe around 4 or 5, spirit child sit on my lap, and because of that interaction, I got a picture of it, this heavy mist, right when I said that. And then there's another picture of, it looks like a boy, about 6 or 7, hugging me on my leg, and then I got several other children, and then there's another picture of a looks like a 9, 10, or 11-year-old little girl with a ponytail in looks like period clothing, Victorian, you know, kneeling down on the floor looking at the toys I had brought.
Wow.
So, and, you know, it's just that interaction. Your heart opens up. They know. They feel. They connect with you.
Yeah.
You're not going to get connected if you're there doing 22 meters and checking to see, you know, let's do the playback real quick. No, you're taking the love and the feel of it out. I'm not there to document everything. And will I? Yes. Through the pictures? Yes. Will I through the EVPs later on? Yes. But I'm there in the moment, and I don't get lost with the science. Because it comes down to these are human beings. Yes, they do not have bodies anymore, but they are human beings. My own father is a spirit. And we'll not cross over until I am okay and my family is all right.
That is wonderful to know that someone else shares that aspect with me. You know, Karen and I talk so much about these things. And, you know, me living here in Williamsburg, Virginia, I mean, the history here is unreal. And I've had many times where they have ghost tours out in the historic part, and I've had he's a very good friend of the family, and he'll call me out there. He'll say, "Brightson, come out tonight. I've got a large group, and you can really help because you can see the spirits up in the windows and things. You can do these things," and he'll call me on the spur of the moment and say, "You and Robert, come on out here." You know, me being that's my son. You know, and then he'll just stop the crowd, and he'll say, "Brightson, you know, do you feel anything? Do you, you know, what can you share with everybody?" And I'll just start walking around, and I'll, just out of the blue, I don't know how it just like came at me. I was walking into a garden area in back of the house, one of the houses, and I just stopped and I said, "There was a black girl, a slave, back then, back in those days, the historic part, and she was murdered right here in this section of grass, and she was murdered, and she was expecting a child," and they were totally baffled. Well, it turned out to be right, because he went and approached the people that have this area, and they said that they try to keep that like under wraps. They don't want a big whoop to do in the newspaper to come in and write about a murder that took place clear back in the 1600s, you know, and everything. But yes, that was something that was told and that was, you know, true. And he came back later on and told me, he said, "Remember when you said that night?" And I said, "Yes." He said, you were right. And I said, I know that. I knew I was right. You know, I knew I had it right because I felt her. And it was like she was telling me, and I was like, okay. And then there are so many other places that I've shared with Karen about Old House Woods and places that are really, really have so much activity. There is a lot. There is so much here to go over. And a lot of people do it, but they do it not in the way that I, like we do it. They use all these mechanisms that I wouldn't even bother with, you know.
I do use the modern day technology, but I use it with the spirit in mind. I use the XPS7 white noise maker. I use EVPs. I go over data when I'm done. I take photographs to document
pictures,
to prove to people what my experiences are. But more for the fans of ghost hunting, not for. You know, I've had so many people disprove my photos or disprove my EVPs or disprove, and that's fine. But I am for the common person. I am for the person that thinks there's something going on, but they don't want to admit to it because then people think they might be crazy. They are not crazy. These things really do happen.
That's
and now
right.
Now, for the people that do document, the people that got to get evidence, hats off to you. I am not here truly for that. I am here to bridge the gap between the physical and the spiritual. I am here to help spirits pass on and ease their pain, where other ghost hunters do not even care to do that, and that's fine. I want to give a real quick history lesson while we still have time about Goldfield. Goldfield basically started in 1903. A gentleman accidentally tripped over a gold vein. He wasn't even looking for gold. He just tripped over it. Word got out, and Goldfield was one of the last few gold rushes in the West.
Wow.
By 1905, they went from a town, a little settlement from 100 people, 1903 when the word got out, to 1905, there was at least, I'd say, 3,000. And by 1907, at their height, that's when the Goldfield Hotel opened. That's when the court and jail opened. By 1907, they were a town of 10,000, with an additional 10,000 of three other smaller towns around it. So what Vegas is today is what Goldfield was 100 years ago.
Wow.
They had a red light district. They had moonshine. They had boxing events. In fact, the gentleman that built Madison Square Garden 100 years ago actually had a house in Goldfield and had a championship boxing match, a world one there in Goldfield. But Goldfield was also a lot of trauma there. Goldfield was site of two massive floods, and Goldfield was hit with a great fire that was actually started with moonshine. One moonshine distiller exploded another one.
Right.
Took out 52 blocks. Can you imagine that? 52 blocks decimated. And then when gold started going down, it was not cost effective to mine gold. It cost more to mine gold than actually we make profit. By 1933, they stopped. They were down to 3,000 people. And now, the Goldfield Hotel last paying customer was 1944. By 1950, the town had went down to less than 300, and that's what the population is now. They are doing events at the high school, and they are trying to bring people back for the town what is known now as being haunted.
Now, Kenny, we're actually down to the last 5 minutes, and I understand that you're going to be bringing a brand new show to the GTN network.
I am going to. Actually, I cannot talk about it.
Okay.
Oh,
and we'll
I'm sorry,
about
that's
when,
not that.
We will see more about Brene's show. That all depends on your listeners. If they would like to hear me bring my own radio internet show from Vegas.
Well, I'm sure they would. You're fantastic. You're fantastic when you talk in the way you tell the story about Goldfield. And I personally want you to come back on again.
Thank you.
And we'll extend the show.
A little more time. I do want to let people know they can find me by linking through Karen Miles. And also, I do have a Haunted Goldfield fan page you can find through me or even look it up on a search. It's the only one that says Haunted Hotel, the Haunted Goldfield Hotel and Town fan page. Right now we only have 155 members, but all you have to do is ask me to be added and I can add you. Goldfield just has a special place in my heart. I can't even begin the experiences I've had there, but that is boot camp for any ghost investigator. That place will make you or break you out. You know, and every other investigation pales to comparison so far with the other places I've been. How can I say? It's one of the greats up there with, with Island of Pavalia or Dracula's Castle or some of those great haunted places you have back east. Mm-hmm. It's just something with that area in town. It's just not right, and nothing against the good people of Goldfield. There's very nice people that live up there.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on because we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show. And it's been great having you on. We were all kind of rushed this evening because of the time zone, but it worked out well. And I want to say thank you to Teresa and Richard Parnell. Guys, they're the bomb. And for those of you that don't know about TTN, check out GhostTalesTV.com. Got a lot of great shows on there. But anyway, again, thank you so much, Kenny, for coming on. And we will come back on again and do a lot longer show so that we can get everything out.
Your audience know that some of those pictures I was talking about are actually on your page, correct?
Correct.
So I'd love to come back. And like I said, we'll see what the future holds for me being in internet radio. I'd love to hear from your listeners today if they would like to hear a show conducted by me.
Most definitely.
With my spiritual.
Well, we definitely want you back on. And you're very welcome, and you can feel free to message me anytime. I enjoy speaking to you. You've got so many guys. You've got so many great stories about Goldfield and the investigations that he does. You really, really want to listen to him. And Kenny's welcome here anytime. Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you for the honor.
You're welcome, and make sure both of you young ladies, again, contact Facebook. I'd love to talk about our Apache ancestry.
That would be very, I will look forward to that, and there's so much to share when it comes to the lineage, so that is something that is very obviously close and lives inside of me, so that is something I'll look forward to. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Any of your listeners have any questions after this show, they can message me and I will get back to them. There's no dumb questions when it comes to paranormal.
Nope, there's
not.
That's
wonderful.
And I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening. Hope everybody enjoyed the show, and we will see you again next week with another show. We will have Brian Burney on. So you all have a good evening, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night,
guys.